We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Bowerly with you on News Radio 930 WBEN. So this whole show started off with a conversation about North Tonawanda and the possibility of limiting the number of dogs that could be in any one house in North Tonawanda. And I, you know what? As far as I'm concerned, you can have a million dogs in your house in North Tonawanda or anywhere else as long as nobody knows you've got a million dogs in your house in North Tonawanda. Nobody wants to live next to or walk by a smelly place, but as long as you take care of your animals, God love you. And, you know, it seems to me the bigger issue with dogs in particular in the house is the barking. And that generally is an issue when the dog is outside. I've got a bigger issue, as you know, with dogs being at things that really should be for humans, like human festivals that dogs somehow manage to show up at with their human owners. And lately, I've noticed an increase in, I guess, what we would call emotional support animals out there in the real world. And just think about this. I'm 55. I'll be 56 years old in September. And there was a time, believe it or not, back in the 60s and 70s and 80s and 90s, when people did not have to have emotional support animals with them every step of the way. People handled their stuff and they went about their lives without their emotional support animals. And I was at a restaurant in the not too distant past and I saw there was a time, kids, when you could actually go to a restaurant aimed at human beings and not be surrounded by animals. And I felt more like I was at a kennel than I was at a restaurant. And I did have some questions as to the sanitary nature or lack thereof of that particular restaurant. I think a lot of people, and if you look this up online, you will see that I'm correct. A lot of people are taking advantage of this whole emotional support animal nonsense, and they're gaming the system because they don't want to leave their dogs at home. And, you know, I'm sorry, but there's a time and there's a place for pets. And going to a restaurant with your what amounts to a pet is just not copacetic with me. And this should not be in any way, shape, or form confused with somebody's legitimate service dog. You know, seeing eye dog for the blind, obviously a legitimate service dog. But if you look up some of these Mills, M-I-L-L-S, online, not the detective from the movie Seven, but the other kind of Mills, as in, you know, certificate Mills, there are people who, for a price, are more than willing to say that basically you are mentally diseased and you have to have a dog or your service animal with you 24/7 or else you're likely to have a bad reaction. And it's just not the way things were done years ago. And I don't think it makes you a bad person if you say, hey, I like dogs, I like cats, I just don't think I need to see them. I don't think I need to be around everybody else's dogs or cats if I'm trying to enjoy a meal at a restaurant. And I'm not talking about some five-star dining experience, folks. I'm talking about places where you've seen me, places that are known for clams, places that are known to be by the waterfront, places that are known, you know, where you can get a beef on weck or something like that. I'm not talking about a place where you're wearing a tuxedo and you're eating escargot, which I think is a mental situation that needs to be evaluated anyway. I'm not a big fan of escargot or, all right, it is 13 minutes after 5 at News Radio 930 WBEN. So have you noticed more and more people abusing the so-called emotional support animal? Let's go to Bill in Buffalo. Bill, you're on WBEN. Welcome.
Oh, Tom, you stole my thunder. You were just saying everything I was just thinking about, because let me tell you something. These are sad, emotionally broken people that need to take their animals to dinner with them. I own dogs. When I'm eating dinner, they're downstairs eating dinner. I'm not going to a restaurant and having some dog make a mess on a floor, and you think I'm going to pay for my meal after witnessing something like that? I'm getting up and I'm walking out. And I'm like you. I like going to the outdoor clam bars, you know what I mean? Stuff like that. There's no reason for it. It's disgusting.
And have you noticed? See, I noticed this the other night. I looked at Mrs. Nerd. Mrs. Nerd looked at me, and we just shook our heads at each other like, you've got to be kidding me. What is this dog doing at a restaurant?
Is that even legal? Isn't there a health code against that? Or
I believe as long as it qualifies as an emotional service animal, it's okay.
Well, let me tell you something. From now on, when I see places that allow this to happen, I'm just walking out. They can give my food to the dogs, let the dog pay.
Well, but you know what? In a way, that's not really fair, because typically what happens is the server is going to be penalized for the action of a patron. The server is the one who's got to settle up at the end of the night with the people at the bar. So you're doing a disservice to the server, not the person with the service dog.
No, what I meant was I'm not going to patronize the restaurant anymore. I'll go elsewhere. I mean, if they don't have the nerve to put a sign on their door, no pets allowed, then let them feed the pets, because they're not going to get my money.
But you see, technically, an emotional service animal isn't really a pet. It's a service animal.
You know what? Get a pet rock.
An emotional support animal.
Put them in your pocket and warm it up. It'll keep you company.
Or I suggested earlier, maybe like a gerbil ball or a hamster ball. All right, thank you very much. 803-0930, *930, 1-800-616-WBEN. And again, folks, differentiate between service animal, and the best example, seeing eye dog for blind people, or emotional support animal, which I don't understand at all. How in the world did we get through how many decades, how many centuries of human development without the need for emotional support animals? Have we become so fragile? Have we really become that fragile that we can't go anywhere without our emotional support animals? I mean, I see people with their vape pens, and I wonder. Here is, of course, I also wonder what they're smoking in there, and I try to go downwind just to verify. Here's Jerry in Depew. You're on WBEN. Jerry.
Hi, Mr. Bowerly. I'm very glad that I could call you and talk with you. I agree with you 100%. I believe service animals for people that are visually impaired, I mean, I feel sorry for them, and they need this animal to live.
Amen.
But the thing of it is, when you have people talking about emotional animals, you know, I think these people ought to stay around their house, because if they have an emotional problem, how do you know what's going to tick them off? And, I mean, you might be around them with their animal, but what if they have a breakdown or something? I mean, if they're emotionally unstable, I don't want to be around these people.
Well, you know, it's really interesting you mention that, because I thought to myself, how in the world did this person brave the 20-mile drive in traffic to get to this particular restaurant where no doubt people cut them off, no doubt people were below speed, above speed, and doing everything you can do in driving that would set somebody off? I mean, if people are that labile, it's an excellent point. Why leave the house?
Right. And I have something to tell you that I think you're going to think I'm lying, but I'm telling you the honest to God truth. I was in a grocery store. There was an elderly couple. The woman was pushing a stroller. So I assumed that probably grandma and grandpa are watching their grandchild. So as I was passing the stroller, being a woman and I like children, I'm going to take a peek inside the stroller and look at this little baby. Well, I could not believe my eyes. They had a dog in the stroller, and a quilt was covering the dog, and they were in the grocery store with a dog in the stroller.
I don't get it. I don't get it. I never will understand it. I don't get it. I'm sorry.
I mean, I thought I was seeing things. I says to myself, what is our world coming to?
I mean, what is the world coming to where people cannot be without an animal for an hour when they go to the grocery store to stock up on provisions for the week? I don't know. And then if we say anything about it, then suddenly we're the bad guy.
I know.
We're the abnormal people because we don't happen to want dogs in a grocery store environment. We're the whack jobs.
But don't you think there's too many unstable people walking around?
My dear, I talk to them 4 hours a day. You're listening to one. No, there are a lot of emotionally unstable people around. Probably 97% of adults are in some way, shape, or form emotionally unstable. We live in a crazy world that is filled with crazy people, and the idea is you've got to be able to control your craziness, at least for a trip to the grocery store, without a dog to get your bread and milk.
Right.
I mean, you know, the world has not changed that much. We've always had people who've had a difficult time adjusting to ordinary life. But we certainly have never lived in an era before where people just have to have their dogs with them 24/7.
Well, Mr. Bowerly, next week I'm going to turn 80 years old. And guess what? You know what? When I was young and growing up, there were so many rules and regulations in our home. And my grandparents lived downstairs. We lived upstairs. So, I mean, there were rules upon rules. And you know what? And you had to do work, and you didn't take advantage of anybody. My grandparents came from the Poland, and they went ahead and came in this country the right way. They talked Polish only in the house. Once they went out of the house, they talked English because we're in America now, and they were proud Americans, and they never, never took advantage or got anything free from the government, and they raised 6 children.
Yeah, God bless them. My grandmother from Germany and my grandfather who spoke German, they did not speak German outside of the house, probably because it was in the middle of World War II, and that would have been highly suspicious.
I understand.
That definitely, German was not the cool language back in the 1930s and 40s. You didn't want to be heard talking about that. In fact, there's a family story. I just heard about it, that my grandmother actually burned a bunch of letters she got from Germany before the war and buried them in the backyard.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that's how paranoid they were about people finding, you know, it was written in the old German schrift writing. She was probably a German spy. Who knows?
Well, my grandfather went ahead and said he left Poland and came to America because they wanted to put him in the German army. And he says, no way am I going to go ahead and kill my Polish people.
Oh, absolutely. Well, what the Germans did to Warsaw was inexcusable. They bombed Warsaw in absolute rubble.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. I'm glad you called.
Yeah.
I appreciate that very much. And those of you who have relatives, not just from Poland, but from Hungary, a lot of Hungarians were placed in a position where you were either going to join the Wehrmacht or you were going to end up in a concentration camp. You did not get a choice. And a lot of Poles were put in the same position. The Nazi Germans were not very nice people. And the movies, you know, the movies do display that. But real history, in many ways, is actually worse than the movies. The choices that people actually had to make in real life and in the real world, just a dreadful situation. And you know what? Here we are bitching about service animals. I mean, compared to what we could be bitching about in 1944 Budapest, it's not the end of the world. No, but you know, seriously, folks, life has always been tough. Our parents handled it differently. Our grandparents handled it differently. Our great-grandparents handled it differently. It seems as though we have entered the era of the uber labile, even before the so-called snowflake generation. You know, there have always been people who have had issues adjusting. There have always been people who've had degrees of social anxiety or degrees of agoraphobia, but somehow they got around it. Somehow they managed to get to the store without an emotional support animal. They managed to get to the fair and have a good time without having some cuddly, snuggly little, you know, bundle of fur around them to protect them against the wiles of the universe. And, you know, we seem to have lost, and I'm not going to pretend that I'm the toughest guy in the world. I'm not. But somehow we seem to have lost some of the very basic human toughness and resiliency that I know we all have if we would just reach deep down inside and get it. I mean, just think about it. Maybe we've just become too labile. Let's get back to the calls on WBEN. That's a great word, labile. Here's Mark in West Seneca. Mark, you are on WBEN. Welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me. Hey, great program today. I agree with you. Anytime I confront somebody who brings a dog into a restaurant or a store, I'm labeled the one who's got a problem. You had just recently said that you feel that 97% of the people have like an emotional issue or a mental health issue. I would have thought maybe 95% is the number that I always went with.
Well, you know, it's one thing or another. You know, I mean, the key is whatever your particular situation happens to be, can you deal with it or at least fake your way through it? I've got social anxiety disorder. Now, go figure. I've got a million friends, and yet there are times I've got, like, social anxiety. When I first walk into a place, I need a drink or I need at least 5 minutes to soak up the vibe before I can relax. But I sure don't need my cat with me to get me through it.
Well, Tom, including myself, most people when they call to speak to you suffer from a little bit of anxiety because it's a once in a year opportunity we have to speak. Now, I feel a lot of people will bring their dogs to the cinema, to church, to a restaurant, to family events is because they're looking for attention or they're seeking to be noticed. And that the dog that they're bringing with them has now become a family member. I know people, all my daughter's friends, refuse to have children. It's not because of global warming or anything like that, because you adopt a child.
They have their fur babies.
Purchasing dogs.
Right.
Now you see a lot of these owners are dressing their dogs like people. They take them to pet grooming salons. They buy them jewelry. They have animal parades. I just saw this on Fox News, where there's a lady in England.
Oh, this, you know what, dude, this is such a great call. Will you promise me to hold on through the news?
Sure.
Because you are like, you're putting on a seminar, a classic seminar on how to be a great call-in caller, so I appreciate that. And I do appreciate what you're saying, too, about people calling in, and maybe they call in once or twice a year, and people do get a little bit nervous. And that's why I'm deeply appreciative of the people who do call in, especially the people who call in who are very, very prepped to call in. And we've had some great, great callers lately. But, you know, and if it makes you guys feel any better, on Sunday nights, I've been doing this for ages. Sunday nights, guess who goes through Monday anxiety? Guess who goes through it? I do. Do you not do the same thing on Sunday nights with your job? Because I've been talking to a lot of people lately. I've been asking people, hey, Sunday nights, do you start getting a little bit anxious about Mondays? Yep. And the general consensus among the people I know, and these are normal people, some professionals, some blue collar, all of them respectable citizens, their weekends basically end at about 6 p.m. on Sunday because they start going through the Sunday evening anxiety about going to work the next day. It's totally normal. It doesn't make you a mental patient. You are normal. It is just a normal reaction to going from a period where you don't have many responsibilities in terms of work, if you're working a normal schedule, to you don't have as much time as you'd like to have for your own chores and responsibilities and hobbies. So what I'm telling you is, if on Sunday nights you go through some anxiety about having to go back to work on Monday, welcome to the big club known as the rest of us. We all go through it. It doesn't make you a mental patient. You don't need a dog to get you through the next 12 hours. You will be just fine. Yeah, a little Rick Springfield to kind of put you in the mood. It is 5:30 in the mood for what? I'm not quite sure. It is 5:38 at News Radio 930 WBEN. But at some point, before we get back to Mark and Lloyd and everybody else on hold, we've got to do a show on this because one of the things we've talked about today is emotional support animals. And the more experienced I get in life, the more I've realized that if anybody says to you that they are 100% normal, don't believe them. Because all of us, every single one of us, we have our bugaboos, we have our phobias, we have our anxieties, and most of us deal with them. We put them aside and we deal with them. Like I talked earlier about Sunday night anxiety. Who out there who works a Monday through Friday schedule on Sunday night, is there anybody who doesn't have right around 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock at night, a little Sunday night anxiety? And I'm blessed to know a lot of people, a lot of different jobs, a lot of different lines of work, and all of them have some degree of Sunday night anxiety. Some people have social anxiety. You know, some people don't even bother talking to them unless they've had their first social adult beverage of the evening. And then, you know, you realize, to put things in perspective, I just want to bring this thought full circle, to put things in perspective, no matter what you are going through right now and what you've been through in the past, I can promise you that there is somebody who is going through a lot more than you're ever going to go through. Like, for example, people who have lost children. There is, I mean, that is pretty much the worst anybody as an adult can possibly go through, is it not? And yet people are able to get through that without needing an emotional support animal. I know a lot of people who have dealt with the loss of a child, sometimes in acts of violence, sometimes in combat, sometimes in a situation that was not something that people like to talk about. But it's a horrible, horrible thing. But the bottom line is, life is not a picnic. It's not a day in the beach or a day at the beach, for that matter, for anybody. But I don't think that that means we all need to go running around with our little emotional support animals. One of the things about life and getting mature is you experience enough stuff in life, and you can substitute another word for the word stuff that you know I'd like to use if the FCC would like me. And the idea of experience is you realize that it is true that that which doesn't kill you makes you stronger. So, and part of me wonders if the people with their emotional support animals are depriving themselves of the full human growth of experience and maturity that you are expected to have as an adult. These are just random thoughts. Maybe I'm onto something, maybe I'm not. Let's go back to a well-thought-out talk show caller, Mark in West Seneca, as we've gone from talking about how many dogs is too many dogs in homes in North Tonawanda to this whole service animal and emotional support animal situation. And, Mark, you were saying that people, in a lot of cases, want attention.
They want attention. They want to be noticed. For example, I agree with just what you said in the past paragraph. If Lloyd is the next person on deck, he's experienced a little bit of anxiety. And if you asked him, I'm sure he's kind of all worked up getting ready for your phone call. Tom, I travel a lot. I've never had a problem with anybody, any dogs on an airplane.
Right.
But I do remember sitting next to this one woman recently, and she said, listen, I want to show you pictures of my children. Well, her children were dogs. And I said, listen, are you here to insult me? If you want to talk about your daughter who's in cheerleading or swimming or Girl Scouts, great.
Right.
If you want to talk about your son or daughter, they're getting straight A's in school, great. If you want to talk about your boy who's excelling in hockey or football, lacrosse, or swimming, I'll listen to it. I said, but these are animals. They're not children.
And they're not, I mean, this is going to anger some people, but when people say fur babies, what do you think? Honestly, be honest.
They're crazy.
You know, I love my dogs. I'm sorry. I've loved my dog. I have loved every cat I have ever had. But they're not really fur babies. They're animals. They're pets. I have been their steward, and we've had great times together. But my children, they fall under a totally different category than fur baby. They're like real human babies.
They are human babies, your children. They are.
No matter how old they are or how many degrees they amass, they are my babies.
Absolutely. You're well put. I was up in Niagara Falls with a friend 2 weeks ago, and there was this man walking past us, and we were talking about the founding of our country and in the city of Niagara Falls and the American side, how ate up it is, and da 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 da. So this man comes across. I say, hey, I said, is this your first time to the falls? He says, yes. I said, where are you from? He says, well, I've been living in America for 5 years. I'm from Iraq. He's from Iraq. And we just had a great conversation because, you know, I've never been to Plymouth Rock where Christopher Columbus landed.
But that's where the Pilgrims touched down was Plymouth Rock, which is surrounded by this giant granite structure, which is so much bigger than Plymouth Rock. It's funny, but that's another story.
But you see how little I know about my country's history. So this Iraqi sitting on the ground, he's telling me about when he was in school, they used to go on field trips to sites in Iraq that dated back to the Babylon time.
Sure.
That's 4,500 years ago. Now, as we began to bounce ideas off one another, and this is a topic for another time because he was a phenomenal person to speak to, is I said, what do you think about all these people walking around taking pictures of their dogs and hugging them and treating a dog like a child? And he says, do you honestly want me to tell you how I feel? I said, yes, be honest with me. He says, I think they're sick. I said, you know, I've researched where fewer than 1% of the Muslim population owns a pet. I said, what's the reason for that? He says, because we worship Allah or God, and we put our love into our children. We put all our love into our spouse and not into an animal.
That's an interesting take, and I, too, have had experiences with a lot of people who came over here from Iraq over the past 5, 10, 20 years even, and I will tell you, the Iraqi-American population, thank God for them. They are some of the rocks of the earth and the bedrock of this country. They get it.
Well, you get it, too, and I totally agree with you. Like I said, that'll be a topic for another conversation. I will definitely call it to share ideas that we spoke about. It was really interesting. But
I appreciate it, Mark. Great call, and you call anytime. And if you ever call and you feel anxious, don't worry, because I get anxious on Sunday nights thinking about doing the show after almost 40 years. I kid you not.
Well, you do a great job. You do a great service our community, and you got great callers, and I love your show.
Well, thank you. It's mostly the callers, though, I got to be honest with you. Thanks very much for the call. And if you haven't yet had a chance to meet some of the people who came over from Iraq over the past 20 years or so, and we're talking about legal immigrants from Iraq. Remember, a lot of these people are people who helped our forces in Iraq, and they have to come to the United States because in some cases they would be persona non grata back in Iraq, and their lives literally were in danger. And when you meet somebody who happens to be an Iraqi American, you're going to be very, if you haven't yet, you're going to be very pleasantly surprised by how very pro-American and pro their new country they are. And they know who they are. I don't feel the need to name all of them that I have met. But, you know, sometimes you just get a really good vibe from people. And I get a really good vibe from the Iraqi American immigrants who came over the right and the legal way. Let's go to Lloyd in Buffalo on WBEN. Lloyd, somehow we started talking about emotional support animals and you're on WBEN.
Yeah, I think this goes back quite a ways. I mean, I always thought it was a little strange, people who put clothing on animals, you know, dogs and cats and stuff like that. And then you have the people that show up at, like, the fairs and whatnot, and they got the ferrets and the snakes and the birds, and it's just it's weird. But my experience, now this is going back like 20 years, I was in a popular stereo store. I won't give the name because I know you don't like to hear names on the
popular stereo store. Okay.
It used to be on Main Street in Williamsville. It's not there anymore. It's an apartment complex now.
I know exactly of what you speak. Okay.
I'm standing in line, and there's a woman in front of me, and she has an infant, and it's in a little red bunny suit, you know, a little jumpsuit with the sleeves and the legs and the hood and everything. And the kid drops this pacifier. So I bend down, I pick the pacifier up, and I tap the woman on the shoulder, and I said, excuse me, you dropped this. She says, oh, thank you. She turns around, and I got to look at the baby, and I almost jumped out of my shoes. It wasn't human. It was a chimp.
No, get out of town.
Dressed like a human being.
It was a support chimp?
Oh, I don't know what it was. It was either a chimpanzee or the ugliest kid I've ever seen.
Oh, jeez.
I backed up, you know, and she walked away, and I looked at this other guy, and he looked at me, and we didn't know what to make of it, and I said to him, you know, when that thing grows up and it realizes it's not a human being, this story does not have a happy ending. I mean, you know, babies don't grow up to rip people's arms out of their sockets. Chimps have been known to do that. So I don't know what to make of it, you know, I mean, we have a tendency to, you know, what's the word I'm looking for, I can't pronounce it.
You know, I know exactly the words you're trying to say, and is it anthropomorphize?
Yes, anthropomorphize or whatever it is, when you endow animals with human characteristics, and I think that's what we do. You know, I mean, I have a cat. I take care of him. I feed him. I love him, you know, but at the end of the day, he's a cat, you know? I mean, I'm not going to... I'm not going to dress him up in silly outfits and put his face on Christmas cards and send them out to all my friends who think I've lost my mind. So, you know, I mean, you got to know where to draw the line.
I wish you would have taken a picture of the support chimp, bro, because I would pay to see that one.
Well, they didn't have cell phones with cameras back then.
Yeah, back when the Advantage place was open on Main Street in Williamsville, you are correct. That would have been the stuff of Dick Tracy imagination.
Yeah.
All right, brother. A great call. Thanks very much.
Yep.
All right. We've had a run of great calls, I don't know, over the past however many shows it's been, but you guys have been on fire. You know, one of these days, I don't know exactly if this would work for you guys. I don't know if you guys would find this interesting, but I would. But a show on anxiety in general and what makes you anxious. And think about, hold on a minute. Think about your circle of friends. Okay, and I can think of three friends of mine, and these are dear friends of mine who are going through literally hellish situations. Two of them involve children, and the one involves a spouse, and these are hellish situations. And needless to say, as a result, they are going through a great deal of anxiety. And we all, every single one of us, we go through periods in our lives where we go through these peaks of really severe anxiety, and then things kind of level off, and then we enjoy a more or less normal existence. But to me, anyway, you know, part of the entire human experience, if you will, is you learn how to prioritize, you learn how to deal with the various crap that comes up in all of our lives, whether it is breakups, whether it is divorces, even sometimes whether it is death. And you learn to adapt, you learn to adjust, and you can grow through adjusting. And sometimes, and I don't know if this is true, it's just a thought I had based on some of the conversations we've had today. You know, sometimes I wonder if some of the people who have to have the emotional support animals, not to be confused with the service animals, but the people who need the emotional support animals, I wonder if they are somehow stunting their own emotional growth and development as human beings by using the crutch of a dog or using the crutch of a cat instead of maybe rationally thinking things through. Like, for example, your Sunday night anxiety that you might go through if you work a Monday through Friday schedule, right? You know, when you put everything in the big perspective of life, you're living in 2019, you're living in the United States, or you're living in Canada if you happen to be listening there, and by and large, we've got a pretty good life in these times and in these parts. Could it be better? Yes. Is there ever going to be such a thing as a perfect life? No. But on balance, we've got it pretty easy. And sometimes things come up that aren't easy. And one of the hallmarks, I think anyway, of emotional maturity and of being a fully adjusted human being is learning how to deal with those things that do cause you, and sometimes with very, very great cause, anxiety.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.